Aaron Fitchenko. Happy birthday. I hope you have a beautiful day. Is she there? Julie. Yeah, she had cataract surgery during the week, and she gave us a beautiful music. Right. Thank you. We have many people who need our prayers and support. I have many lists today. Please remember Warren Hoek. He's going to have an angiogram this week, Tuesday. Please remember him. And also remember Dave, Dave Six. He had a surgery and he's going to have another one. He's gaining his strength, but he needs our prayers. Please remember him. So let me tell you, here is the picture I see about why we pray for one another. When you go to, watch a game, basketball game or football game or baseball game, you cheer them all. You are not playing the game, but you cheer them all. And the players, they see you cheering you. They hear their voice named, and they have strength. I see our prayer like that. And somehow, God's going to work through our prayers. So we need to pray for one another all the time without ceasing. And please remember Darlene Davis' daughter, Debbie. Debbie is in a critical condition. She's battling with cancer. And Darlene asked for our prayer so that Debbie continues to have her faith in this last journey. And please continue to have Jen Glover for her fast recovery and Rebecca's mom. She's going to have a treatment very soon. And please remember Amy's nephew. Oh, she's here. Yes, Amy's nephew, Daniel. Daniel McName, he's going to have a stem cell transplant this week. It is something. And he will be in the hospital for 30 days. Please remember Daniel in your prayers. And also remember Vicky Dunphy, a passionate educator. She's battling cancer. Please remember her in your prayers. And many of you remember Lavona Viv, right? She passed away only this month. Lavona and her husband have been an active, member of the church, and many of you remember them. So please remember the family in your prayers. In this difficult season, we hold one another in our prayers and support. That's the way, one of the many ways we live together as a community of faith. Let's gather our mind and pray together. Eternal God, we bow with a grateful heart. When we reflect upon life, we find so many things for which we are grateful. We are grateful for all you have done in our lives. We are grateful for all the creation you created. And we are grateful for the moment we live every day, and for the beautiful cloud, rain and snow, even fog outside we have today. God, open our eyes to see your work, love, and grace. And open our ears to listen to you. In this season of Lent, let us see your creation and find many reasons for gratitude for your love for us. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the self-giving love to which his life was committed. And thank you for the invitation so that we are your partner in love. Be our Redeemer when it falls short, and forget about that. Reminding of your love, sacrifice, and the life you have given us. This morning, God, we pray for those, many of us, in our prayers. We share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, because we trust you listen to us and you care for us. And through our prayers and support, you are working among us. Lord, remember each one of those who need you in their body, soul, and spirit. Touch them, strengthen them, and comfort them. And remember the people who lost their beloved one. God, be present with them in their most vulnerable moment. As we come to worship you, God, send us your spirit so that we may be refreshed, recharged, reconnected to you, God. God, we need you. Every day we need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us sing together, "You Satisfy the Hungry Heart," verse 3. You didn't hear me singing. It was not a technical issue. I thought, oh, I don't know the song. But with Judy's beautiful music, I read the lyric. It's beautiful. Maybe next time I will sing very loud.
It's from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Today with a fun story. You know what? A few years ago, one day, a pastor that I know, he went to a hospital to visit his church member in the morning. He was so hungry, starved. So he ordered a cup of coffee and donuts. We love donuts, right? So he ordered that cup of coffee and donuts at the hospital cafeteria. And the woman at the cash register, she said, $2.50 with your employee account. It's gonna be discount for you. Great! One little problem was, the pastor was not an employee. But think about that, what a blessing. He could save around $2 in that morning. But he said, "You know what, thank you. But I'm not an employee here." Then she said, "Okay." And she pushed another button and she said, $4.29. And she continued, "Thank you for your honesty. You know what? When you go to church this coming Sunday, your pastor will be proud of you." He said, "You know what? I'm very proud of myself." His honesty cost about $2, and he could be proud of himself. I thought that was funny. And let's talk about our gospel reading today. Here, we find Jesus, his agony. Right after the Last Supper, Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he looks at them. "My heart," he said, "my heart is overwhelmed with sorrow. So you guys stay here and pray with me." And the scripture says Jesus threw himself to the ground and he cries out, "Father, please take this cup away from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to get through this. Please find some other way." It's Jesus. Jesus is grieved and afraid, facing intense sorrow. Many people might say, "I don't like that. It doesn't sound like Jesus, my Lord. He shouldn't be feeling that way." But we know Jesus is fully God and also fully human with bones and flesh. And he was anticipating in a few hours he would be arrested and taken to a trial. And he would be tortured by the Roman Empire, the Roman soldiers, and hung on a cross for 6 hours until he died. Then we can picture why he was afraid, why he was anxious, and why he prayed, "God, please let there be some other way." For me, Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, it makes me love Jesus more and more. It makes Jesus real. It's real. He knows what it looks like to be afraid. Jesus knows what it looks like to wish for a different outcome. Jesus knows what it is like to have his heart broken in sorrow and grief. Then what does it speak to you? What does it speak to you? It means a lot to me. And have you experienced in your life, when you walk through the time, you experienced intense grief sorrow or pain. You feel like you just want it to end. You just want to end it all. Crying to God, God, I'm done. I'm done. Have you been there? Let me tell you, when you pray to God, when you pray to Jesus, you pray to someone who really understands exactly what you're feeling. When you face the moment you can't handle, it means a lot to have somebody who can really understand you. It means a lot. That's the power of what Jesus experienced on that night. That's why the book of Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, sorrow, and pain. But we have one. We have the one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin." Jesus understands because he has been there. He walked through all the time. God doesn't just imagine what we are going through, what we are feeling in the middle of our pain. Jesus Christ himself experienced this. So when you pray to him, he understands. He knows what we are feeling. Now, I want you to recognize that Jesus goes to pray. In the Gospel of Jesus, he was always busy, doing many things, and he always tried to find a place to be quiet and to be alone with God. He prays all the time. Sometimes we struggle with prayers. When things are going well, it's easy to forget about that. But we know what Jesus said to his disciples during the Last Supper. "Abide in me. Abide in me as a branch abides in the vine. Stay connected with me." So I want to encourage you and me to spend more time. I know you have been praying every day. Maybe we may do a little bit more, because it will change our lives. So let's see what Jesus prayed on that night. He said, "God, you can do everything. You can do all things. You have the power. Please let this cup away from me. Please deliver me from this." I think it's really important. There was nothing wrong with Jesus praying this prayer. It's natural for us to pray for God to deliver us from the painful moment that are coming. Even Jesus is asking God to make another way, and there is nothing wrong with that. So we pray, "God, I know you have the power. You can do all things. I know you can do this. Please deliver us. Comfort me. Bring me peace. Help me get through this." We can pray like Jesus. And we find Jesus, he's Son of God. His prayer was not answered. Oh boy, who can imagine that? It's Jesus. His prayer was not answered in the way he first prayed. He prayed for the cup to pass from him, but God didn't take the cup away. Instead, God answered the second part of his prayers. "Let your will be done. Let your will be done." Many times in our lives, we struggle and wonder why God does not answer my prayers. So many times. Maybe it's not your story, it's my story. "God, why have you not answered prayers? Many times, somebody may think, "Am I doing something wrong? Or do I have no faith? Am I not yet there?" Then what about Jesus? It's Jesus. Do you really think Jesus has no faith? No, it's Jesus. But God could see beyond the cross to the resurrection, the bright shining sun above the cloud, dark and dark cloud. And God could see what God was going to do with the painful moment which was about to happen. Though in grief, God saw Jesus crucified. God knew God could use the sacrifice for the salvation for all. So during the week, I want us to take a moment, or maybe a couple of hours, to look back on your own experience, your own painful situations or difficult places in your own lives. And I want you to find something God has done and provided through the time in which you didn't expect. I have my story with painful moment, and I believe you have yours. And you have some prayers not answered. I have many. Maybe I can give you a fun case of many of them. Maybe it's fun case. When I was a high school kid, there was a certain girl and I liked it. I really liked her. So I prayed to God so hard. God, I think I like her. Why don't you make her fall in love with me and I want to marry her someday, maybe next year, because I thought at the time I was grown. So, God, please. Oh boy. God didn't answer my prayer. I did a lot. And now I thank God, because otherwise I'm not with my wife. It's a fun case, but I mean, we can't see everything right now. We can't see what God is going to do with our lives. The moment we experience difficulties. Now, I want to focus our attention on Jesus' agony in the garden. His agony was not simply fear. It's not simply fear of what was about to happen. I believe it was the agony that came from wrestling with temptation. It's about temptation. We have 40 days of Lenten season because 40 means a lot in the Bible. And Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness tested by the devil. Oh, wow. Devil. We find it. So when devil tempts you, how does it do that? Does it show up in a red spandex tight? Or black robes? I hope to see that, so I can just say no. But no, it is like whispering into our mind. Whispering into our thought. Don't you see how great it would be if you do this, and do this? It tempts us with money, sex, and power. It tempts us to negotiate and compromise with what it ought to be and the way we need to live our lives by God's will. Then what about Jesus? Praying in the garden just a couple of hours before he was arrested. I think he might have been tempted. It might be like, hey Jesus, are you serious? Are you really okay? You really want to die? You don't want to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to that cross. You are just 33 years old. You are young. And now you are famous. You are a superstar. Everybody knows you. You can do something amazing. And now, are you throwing that away? Hey, Jesus, why? Why? You really think those disciples you chose would carry your mission after you're gone? Look at them. They are sleeping. Yes, three of them, they were sleeping. Do you really believe those guys would carry on your mission? Come on, Jesus. Wake up. All you have to do is run. Run away. Do you feel the agony? Throughout his agony, he wraps up his prayer saying, Father, take this cup from me. Please find something else. Yet, not my will, but thine will be done. Your will be done. Sometimes we find ourselves praying, not thy will, but my will be done. Again, I'm talking about myself, not you. And Jesus' prayer, not my will, but thine will be done. Those seven words changed everything. In our lives, when we pray them, when we join Jesus in these seven words, not my will, but thine be done, everything changes. So in the beginning, I talk about a pastor. Coffee and donut. His honesty. It cost a small amount of money, about $2. And he could be proud of himself. Then let me ask you, how about the seven-word prayer? When Jesus prayed that prayer, it cost his life. And I keep thinking about what it cost when I pray that prayer. How about yours? Maybe in our lives, in your lives, it will cost you having to love your neighbor whose dog is pooping all the time in your yard. Or it may cost you to forgive and love somebody who cut your line when you drive. Maybe it costs you keeping all the rules and law and paying the right amount of taxes. Maybe it costs you stepping out of your comfort zone, making your circle of love wider and wider. When you take these seven-word prayer seriously, it changes everything. It changes everything. Yet, we find freedom, liberation, restoration, and salvation in Jesus Christ. What I want to suggest to you today and myself is this seven words of a prayer becomes the prayers of yours and mine. Not my will, God, but yours. Not my will, but your will be done. Amen. Yesterday, during the men's group Bible study, we talked about what would you like to do after the pandemic in the church. What do you want to do the first? And some of us mentioned about coffee and donuts. We love it, right? It's not just a cup of coffee and donuts. It's about fellowship, feeling of love, embracing, welcoming, and being loved. That fellowship, we can find that through these elements. Jesus welcomes all of us as he broke the bread. And gave his disciples the cup. Let's pray.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and those who join us online worship in Florida, Arizona, Rockford, Rock Force, Stoning, and many other places. Remember each one of us. We may be separated in our physical distance, but we are united in your spirit. And bless these elements of the bread and juice. make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we, as we take the bread and drink the cup, we become the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood, so that we may live the life you want us to live. Love more, love more, love more. Amen. Please peel the first layer. Oh, today it's really easy to peel off mine. Sometimes it's not easy. Let's take the bread as a community of faith. Peel the second layer. Let's take the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
I really miss Dylan. This morning, let's think about, why don't you look at each other? Oh, beautiful smile. Even with this mask, I can see your smile, big smile. And I believe those who join us online worship, they smile at you. We love one another, and we love God, and we love to do the ministry God has called us in our lives. There are so many reasons that we are grateful. In this moment, with all the gratitude we have for what God has done in our lives, let us present ourselves, our mind, our time, our talent, and our resources back to God with the hope that God will use for the people.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Your goodness is all around us, gracious God. Thank you for strengthening us so that we may share your goodness with our neighbors and the world around us. Bless these gifts, bless our lives, bless us and use us for the sake of Christ so that we may share your goodness with the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our closing hymn is Here I Am, Lord, number 593, verses 1 and 3.
I love the song. Let's sing together, maybe loud in your mind and low in your voice. If you want, we have enough space. You can dance. Amen. Amen. Please join me in an attitude of prayers and receive the benediction. Every single day, every single moment, we cannot go away from God. Even in a moment, we forget about God. We don't feel God. God is present with you. Just like Apostle Paul said, in God we live, we move, and have our lives. Let us remember and find God's presence, grace, mercy, and love in our lives, in the people around us. And remember God's love in our daily lives. May the God of covenant, faithfulness, enfold you. The beloved Son encourage you. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you every day with blessing, love, and courage, so that we may boldly live day by day God's power. Amen.